Welcome to the Sunday Night There's a Solution Newcomer and Returning Members Meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. Visit our website at oaontario.org, where you'll find this audio recording, additional podcasts, and a place to donate to keep this special service active. The opinions expressed are those of individual OA members and do not represent OA as a whole. Tonight, the format of our meeting will be a little bit different than usual. Usually we have a single speaker followed by a Q&A period. Tonight, we will have a panel of three speakers who will each share for a few minutes about a topic relevant to newcomers and returning members. And we will then still have a Q&A period at the end where you can comment or ask a question about what the panelists have shared. So the first panelist tonight will be me, followed by Pat B, and then Esther C. So, hi, I am Catherine A, a grateful recovered compulsive overeater, recovered today, but not cured. So being a compulsive eater means to me that there are certain foods that once I start eating, I can't stop, and that I can't stop myself from starting again. This is what we frequently refer to as the double whammy, the allergy of the body, and then the obsession of the mind. I'm going to start today by speaking briefly about the first part of the double whammy, the allergy of the body. This is where if I start eating any of my trigger foods, I can't stop. In the doctor's opinion, in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, which we use as a primary text in OA as well, on page XXVIII, Dr. Silkworth talks about the phenomenon of craving experienced by alcoholics after they have taken the first drink as a manifestation of an allergy. And by allergy, he means an abnormal reaction to a certain substance entering the body, a reaction that non-addicts don't experience. And for me, this was a really important thing to understand when I came into OA. It perfectly describes for me the feelings of overwhelming craving that I experienced for years in my compulsive overeating. I didn't have a name for it at the time, but I knew that once I took the first bite of chocolate or cookies or especially ice cream, there was no limit to my craving. No amount of that food would satisfy me. I have heard that there are people who get a desire to eat ice cream and they go out and they have some and then they're done. They're done. The craving's gone and they move on with their lives. I've heard there are people like that, but I have never actually experienced that myself when it comes to my allergic foods. So when I take a bite of one of my allergic foods, my craving can never be satisfied. It doesn't matter if I eat the whole tub of ice cream tonight, I will want more at breakfast tomorrow. I'll want more at my morning snack, more at lunch, and pretty much nonstop between all of those things too. It's never enough. So I know, I didn't have the words to describe it before, but I know that I have this allergy of the body to certain foods and food ingredients. And as long as I was ingesting them, I could never be free of that craving. So what is the solution to this? How could I become free of that craving if that's just how my body reacts to those foods? So if I look back at the doctor's opinion on page XXX, I see that Dr. Silkworth says, it, this allergy, has never been by any treatment with which we are familiar permanently eradicated. The only relief we have to suggest is entire abstinence. So the only solution I have is entire abstinence. I need to abstain from those allergic foods and ingredients so that the phenomena of craving can go away and never come back. So with the help of my sponsor and a nutritionist, I developed a food plan that is healthy, balanced, and most importantly, free of my trigger foods. And sticking to that food plan, along with working the 12 steps as outlined in the big book, is what allows me to today live free from those obsessive cravings. I have a 4-year-old daughter, and today, not only can I be much more present with her than I ever was when I was obsessing about the food, using spending time with her as an excuse for special treats that would continue to fuel my cravings. But I'm also able to easily serve her food that I don't eat. I can be serving her my trigger foods without being compelled to eat them too. And this to me is part of the clear evidence that the promises of recovery have really come true in my life today. So thank you for allowing me to share. I will now hand things over to our next panelist, Pat B.
Hi, I'm Pat Ball. I am a recovered compulsive overeater. And that's a term that we use in this program to describe someone who has had a transformation from being addicted to food, still addicted to food. And as Catherine said, we're recovered. I'm not cured. It's just like I can recover from a bullet wound. Doesn't mean that I'm bulletproof. And so every day is a day that I have to work my program. I've been in OA since November the 5th, 1984. And for the first 15 years, I was in a program that focused very much on abstinence. And I was missing a part of the program that is about the spiritual transformation. However, I didn't know it existed until about 4 years ago. I left OA in 2000, came back in 2010, and was introduced to a healthy meeting that I listen to every day that focuses on spiritual transformation. I do want to read you what abstinence is. The definition of abstinence in OA is the action of refraining from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors while working toward or maintaining a healthy body weight. And that's all very nice. I'm glad that I have a healthy body weight, but certainly the action of refraining from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors is not just to have a healthy body weight. It is to have a healthy mind. And Esther is going to talk about that in a minute. But I wanted to talk to you about why is it important that we are abstinent? One of the things that we say at these big book meetings is first you put down the food and then you work the program. The program of recovery is the 12 steps of OA, which have been adapted from the AA 12 steps. And so we use the AA literature because it was the granddaddy of all the 12-step recovery programs. I think I heard that there's like 173 different recovery program, 12-step recovery programs. I don't know. That's a while ago. Maybe there's more. Maybe there's less. I don't know. But certainly a lot more than just food and drinking, booze. We can't work the steps while we're drunk. That's what we say, while we're drunk on our food or drunk on our eating behavior. And in the big book, which we call the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and now we just call it the Big Book, because originally it was very huge. You can get smaller versions of it. I've got one that's very tiny. I've got one that's very big, but there's so much material in it, we call it the Big Book. And we use it, we just translate in our minds the words alcohol and alcoholic to food and compulsive eating. It's all the same. Because it's the actual mental obsession that's the problem. It doesn't matter what your drug of, as somebody says, some people say drug of choice, some other people say drug of no choice. Because when you're addicted to it, you really have lost your power of choice. And one of the reasons that we talk about in the beginning, there was a doctor that was working with alcoholics. And he wrote what's in the first chapter, kind of like the pre-chapter in the big book called The Doctor's Opinion. Now, it was only an opinion because he did not do scientific research about it. He did not take a control group and let them drink as much as they want. His focus was on helping alcoholics get sober and stay sober. And so after working with hundreds of them, he came to the opinion that there is something different about us addicts. And not only that we're bad, you know, not that we're bad, not that there were, you know, if we really wanted to, we could, all these things that you heard people say to you. You know, my mother used to say, well, Pat, you know, you can have a little bit, just don't, you know, just eat a little bit of it. And I'm thinking, she has no idea. I cannot eat just a little bit. Oh, yeah. Oh, in front of her. Oh, yes. I would just eat a little bit. But then after, when she'd put it away, or when I was, you know, by myself in the house, I'd go and binge on anything I could get my hands on because I was crazy. I was insane. Step two says that we're restored to sanity. I'm thinking, I don't know if I ever was insane to begin with. I was always insane. I don't remember not being insane until I recovered by following the instructions given in this book. One of the, there's in the doctor's opinion, he's given several reasons why we've got to put the food down before we work the steps. It says here, it is imperative. So, and the whole thing that Catherine was talking about was the allergy, which we have an abnormal reaction to certain foods, and we call those our addictive foods. It says that, and this is the doctor's opinion, that we have an allergy, and it says in here, it explains many things for which we cannot otherwise account. Oh my goodness, that was so true for me. I had no idea why I couldn't stop eating, and why after I dieted myself, starving myself down to the weight that I wanted, bingo, back on, and it's all back on. Yo-yo dieting, up, down, up, down, up, down. But it says at the bottom of page, what we call XXVI, the doctor's opinion is Roman numerals. And it says, it is imperative that a man's brain be cleared before he is approached. So we have to have our clear mind. We have to put down our addictive foods, abstain from them, and abstain from eating behaviors before we can start working the program. And one of the things that I wanted to show you was this brochure called, it's for newcomers, Where Do I Start? And you can get this, and there's going to be information in the chat about how to get a copy of this from Central Ontario Intergroup. You can download it for free as well, but hard copy is really good. And it says that that in this brochure, it says that abstinence is our primary purpose. Well, in the those of us that use the big book for our primary text, we say, no, abstinence is not our primary purpose. Abstinence is our foundational purpose. But our primary purpose, and it says it right in here on page 45, that it is to find a power greater than ourselves. That's what step two says. We obviously don't have enough power. Human willpower is no longer any good to us. We tried it, I don't know how many times. I used to say, well, I just need more willpower. Oh, that wasn't the problem. I had lots of willpower. In fact, I had more willpower. I just wasn't using it properly. I mean, nobody was going to stop me. Nobody was going to tell me what to put in my mouth. You don't think I should eat that? Watch me. I'm eating it. You know, like totally crazy, crazy, crazy. So this booklet talks about how to identify your binge foods, your addictive foods, the foods that trigger you, the foods that you head for comfort. Some people say food isn't our problem. Food is our solution. It's what we use to cope with life. When we're feeling upset, when we're feeling happy, when we're feeling sad, when we're feeling excited, when we're feeling bored, what do we use to cope? Food. And so we need to identify what it is. And there's all these lists in here of how to identify what your foods are that you want to abstain from and not eat. And not only that, there's also eating behaviors, because it's not just the food we eat, it's also how we eat it. Standing up at the sink, driving, eating in the middle of the night, you know, getting up and heading for the kitchen every time. My eating behavior, when I was eating compulsively, every time I'd go through the kitchen, I'd grab something that came in containers. And at first I'd say, well, no, I'll only take one. Well, by the end of the day, there was nothing left, but it was just every time I'm going by, I take a couple. And next thing I know, they're all gone. That was me. I was more of a grazer. I would graze like a cow, you know, eating a little bit all the time. I didn't know what three meals were. My day was one big meal from start to finish. So one of my plans was to eat three meals a day. I've been doing that now for, what year is this? 23? For me, I don't know how many years, 30 some years. Now I've been eating three meals a day. And if you told me I was going to do that when I started, I would not have believed you. So now I'm going to turn it over to Esther, because she's going to talk to us about the obsession of the mind. Take it away, Esther.
Thanks, Catherine and Pat. Welcome to the newcomers. It's so exciting to see so many new faces and, of course, the old friendly faces. My name is Esther C., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. And you just heard from the others what it means to be recovered. And the information that they have spoken about the allergy and how to determine what my allergic foods are is very good information. And when I came to Overeaters Anonymous, I heard it. I believed in it. I agreed with it. I could certainly see where those foods were my trigger foods. And I thought, great, now I know what foods I shouldn't eat because they trigger an allergy and I eat them uncontrollably, so I can go home now. Why do I need a 12-step program, right? A number of years ago, determined that I couldn't eat many of the legumes and corn and things like that because, for digestive reasons. But I didn't need to go to Legumes Anonymous to stay off those foods, right? But what do I need to be in a 12-step program called Overeaters Anonymous not to eat my binge foods? Well, maybe you had this experience. Maybe you've experienced the cycle of disease. I know that I have. So I come into the program and I hear about this idea of the allergy and trigger foods and binge foods. And I, you know, get a nutritionist and get a sponsor and get a food plan and it's all good. And I know what I'm not supposed to eat. And I get started and I'm all excited and I'm losing weight and I'm feeling amazing because between you and me, most of my allergic foods are junk foods anyway. So I feel great. And then next thing you know, and it could be a day later, a week later, a month later, I'm feeling like, right. And then my mind starts telling me you can have a little bit of that, you know, maybe you've lost enough weight or someone else I don't program eats that. And, you know, in my head. And the next thing I know, I'm taking just one little bite of whatever it is that I'm not supposed to have because, you know, I've never had it or because it's what my mother makes special for the holidays and I have it. And the next thing you know, I'm off to the races. I have one piece and two piece and three pieces. And it doesn't mean that at that moment I'm binging the entire thing, but maybe I, you know, smile at the party and then I go home and then I help myself to everything in my fridge. And I'm feeling remorseful and I'm feeling awful. And then I said, you know what, this is ridiculous. I got to stop. So I go back to OA and I hear again about, you know, the allergy. And I'm like, okay, Esther, you can't eat your binge foods. And I said, that's it. I'm not going to buy binge foods anymore. I'm never going to do this again. I'm never, ever, ever, ever going to have those foods again. And I go about my daily life. And the next thing you know, life happens and it's not so easy. And sure enough, the pressure builds. And I only know one way to reduce the pressure, right? To get those bubbles inside to come down. Do you guys know what I'm thinking? Yes, you know. There's only one way that I'm to relieve the pressure, but I know I'm supposed to be abstinent. So what should I do? And right, you know, that monkey chat in your head. And next thing I know, I've eaten something I shouldn't be eating. And again, we go through the pain, the remorse, the spree, the binge. And I say to myself, when it's all done, and again, these binges, you know, these relapses could last an hour a day, 2 days a week, a month, a year, right? Everybody has their own story. And we say to ourselves, how did we get here? And how am I going to get out of this? And this is a cycle of disease that Dr. Silkworth describes. And he tells us like this, you know, there's an entire chapter later in the big book called More About Alcoholism. And that entire chapter is devoted to this idea. And this idea the big book calls the great obsession, right? So that means that all the knowledge that I have, all my pain and suffering that I've had with my problem with foods, all my experiences in and out of Overeaters Anonymous is not enough to keep me from reaching for my trigger foods. It's just not enough, because all it takes is one little lie or one excuse I tell myself. And the next thing you know, like, I forget everything. I forget all my suffering. I forget the 260 pounds that I was. And I forget that I used to walk with a cane. And I again pick up that compulsive bite. So the big book tells us that if this is your story, then you're one of us. So what does that mean? We don't diagnose newcomers as compulsive overeaters. Everyone diagnoses themselves. Ask yourselves two questions. Number one, when I pick up these trigger foods, can I stop myself from, you know, eating them? I cannot. But when I'm abstinent from my trigger foods, can I stop myself from reaching for them again? No, I cannot. So that's how I knew that I was a compulsive overeater. And that's how I knew that I was in the right place. But one second, am I doomed? Is there any solution to this problem? I know the solution to my problem of the allergy. I just stopped eating those foods. But how? What am I going to do with this mental obsession? So this is what, you know, we learned in the big book, right? I'm not doomed. There is a solution. That's what this book is about. And the solution is a spiritual solution. And this spiritual solution produces a personality transformation, or some people call it a psychic change. And how does this solution brought about? By the 12 steps, as outlined in the first 164 pages of the big book. Now, is this the only way to solve my problem? I don't know, but it's the only way that worked for me. And believe me, I tried everything else, right? The therapist's chair and other spirituality and natural, you know, approaches, but nothing worked for me except for the 12 step. And I want to tell you that on page 85, there are promises. And there I am promised that when I get through those steps, that I'm not going to fight the food any longer. So if that's something that interests you, meaning I knew how to lose weight, right? I don't know about you, but I know how to diet. I know what I should eat. But what I did not know was how not to fight the food and how not to have food on my mind all the time. So that is what we do to tackle the mental obsession. There's so much more to say. Hopefully you'll stick around and you'll hear more of that. But I will pass with that. And thank you.
Thank you, Pat and Esther. Will you stop the recording?